God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thank you, Brother Hutchings. Recently, a major financial company predicted that the dollar may drop 11% this year. Today and tomorrow, Brother Hutchings will be talking with talk show host and author Paul McGuire about the dollar. Brother Paul has written a compelling book entitled The Day the Dollar Died, and he'll share information from it both days. Stay tuned now, and be sure to be here tomorrow. Here now is Brother Hutchings.
We're certainly pleased to have Brother Paul on the program again. I know he's been in our meetings before, and we've had good fellowship, and we are like-minded concerning the fundamentals of the faith and the seriousness of the world situation today in light of the Lord's soon return. And I believe the Lord is coming back from the signs of the times. One of the signs of the times, as we brought out, was the serious financial situation, the world economy, the world government. And all those are prophesied in the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, and even the prophecy of Jesus. And, of course, Jesus said that the Jews would be scattered into all the world until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And now we see Israel back in the land. And you can read prophecy after prophecy in Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Daniel, that the Jews would be scattered into all the nations of the world, and then they would be returned back from all the nations. Brother Paul, I know you probably noted, I believe you've been to Israel, haven't you?
No. Every time I try to go to Israel, there's a problem, and my wife panics, and that's the end of that.
Well, I've been 53 times. There you will find Jews from every nation in the world. And they're back in the land. And as prophesied, God has returned to them a pure language, Hebrew language, and they're all speaking Hebrew again, even the black Jews from Ethiopia. But we look at the financial situation here in the United States, and, you know, there's a lot of problems, a lot of trouble, a lot of concern. And the other day, I noticed something like several hundred banks, maybe 1,000 banks, are wanting a one-world currency. And the gripe there is we got all these different currencies and the value's changing every day and nations going bankrupt. So they want a world currency to get out of all this. And, of course, here in the United States, we notice we're getting merchandise from all over the world. How does this fit into Bible prophecy? What do you see in all this?
Well, Noah, I agree with what you just said, and it's amazing to me how many people who call themselves Christians. I'll get responses when people read my books, and sometimes they'll give them to a friend and stuff. A lot of people come to Christ after reading the books, especially backslidden Christians. But people will go, well, he's lying. But as you just said, the fact that these 100 banks are calling for a global currency, that's in mainstream financial newspapers. I mean, that's not hidden away in some closet. That's in the mainstream financial press. The mainstream financial press is openly calling for a new, what they say, a new world financial order. The mainstream financial press, primarily in Europe, the American media hides it, but in Europe, the mainstream financial press is calling for global government. And in my book, The Day the Dollar Died, one of the primary messages in the book is that this current economic crisis is not an accident. It's not because a bunch of Californians bought big houses and adjustable rate mortgage. It's because, as you know, the plan is a global government. In order to have a global government, you must have a one-world economic system. So they want to destroy the dollar by devaluing it, level the playing field, and come up with a one-world currency or a competing currency. This killing of the dollar is on purpose.
The dollar is the main financial unit of the world. Everything is based on the dollar. The dollar has to go.
Absolutely.
Now, the dollar is going also because of the economic situation here in the United States. We're suffering unemployment. We're not producing anything anymore. Our industry has been moved overseas. Now, how did all that happen?
Well, no, that's a very good question. And as you indicated from the question, all of that happened as part of a plan. And before I fully answer your question, you know, people constantly want to know, well, where do you get your facts? How can you prove what you're saying? And all I can say is that every time I make a statement, I've done thorough research. I've got original documentation, government documents, economic reports, mainstream think tanks, quotes from politicians and economists that have come out and said this, going back 100 years. So this may sound outrageous to some people, but it's fully documented. I didn't get it from some radio program in Area 51, you know, where they park the UFOs. I got it from mainstream resources. So here's the thing. Going back at least 100 years, because we know the plan for a world communist government or a world socialist government began to gather steam with the Fabian socialists like H.G. Wells, the great science fiction writer, and the financial fortune of Cecil Rhodes. They came out and said, we want a new world order. In fact, as you know, H.G. Wells, the science fiction author, wrote a book called The New World Order. Adolf Hitler wrote a book called The New World Order. So the plan for world government has been in place for a long time. That was the purpose of the League of Nations, which was kind of a dry run at the United Nations. Now, they understand that currently, the dollar is the de facto world currency simply because of its economic strength. We've reduced it a little bit for various reasons. One is to include trade with foreign countries in making a profit. But they deliberately destroyed our manufacturing industries. They, through excessive taxation, regulations, our government drove major industries to develop their headquarters overseas. So, for example, many, many huge multinational corporations moved from the U.S. to Ireland, which is multinational corporation friendly. I was talking to an economist the other day who was a Christian economist, and he was talking to me about the fact that one of the reasons California, where I'm from, is suffering such an economic problem is all the major corporations and automobile manufacturers like Toyota and Nissan have picked up and moved to the South where business is friendly. And then you can go back probably to what, 1919, 1920, when the government deliberately destroyed one of our biggest industries, which is the agricultural industry. I mean, we were the breadbasket of the world, and they destroyed it. And they destroyed all these industries on purpose because their goal was to weaken America so they could raise up other countries and bring in this global government.
I've been to China many times also. One of the nations, we've been very busy as far as missions are concerned. In fact, I was at the church in Shanghai, the Moen Church, the first service after the trial of the Gang of Four. And at that time, motor vehicles were an oddity. You could go for hours and not see a motor vehicle in China at that time. Now then, they had the biggest motor tie-up in the world, south of Beijing, 62 miles. The traffic wasn't moving. It was a traffic jam. So that just shows you how far they go. All new airports, new airplanes, 100, 130-story hotels. They're busy, busy, busy. One ship, it's a quarter mile long, sits 10 stories high in the water, has a silicon bottom, big motors, travels full speed, going to China and back every week, carries 15,000 cargo holding places in it, 16,000 of them. They're 20 foot long, 10 foot wide, 8 foot high. They're loaded with Chinese goods. And two more ships are going to join the one. They bring a material to Walmart. 91% of Walmart comes from China. The chips aren't even made in the United States. They're made in Denmark. So very little is produced in the United States for shipment overseas. In fact, we are buying, not selling. And you look at the balance of trade deficit over the last 30 years in the United States, and that'll tell you the story, why there's vast unemployment here. But that's all in a plan, evidently.
Right. Yes, and it reminds me, and I write about it in The Day the Dollar Died, Rockefeller, the super supposed capitalists, but these super financiers, the financial elite, China's economic growth was not a spontaneous economic miracle. Yes, they're very hardworking and resourceful people, but the fact that China will become the world's leading economic superpower in the next couple of years, that it will surpass the United States, was carefully planned by the world's elite. They bankrolled it. They planned it. And when Chairman Mao had his revolution in China, Rockefeller was going through China, and he said publicly, he said, "This is the way America should be, just like the Chinese." And what he was referring to was, we want to keep the American productivity, but in terms of government, in terms of persecuting religion, we like, Rockefeller was inferring, we like the absolute dictatorial control that the Chinese government has over its people, but we want to keep up the productivity of the United States. So the goal is to turn the U.S., which they're doing now, to turn the U.S. into kind of a model of China, where we'll have a dictatorial government, a large lower class that is productive. And not only did Rockefeller say that, when George Soros gave Barack Obama his marching orders to continue his aggressive socialist movement, George Soros came out openly and said, we need to be more like China. Our government is inefficient. We need to have a government like China. Brzezinski said the same thing. So these planners of a world government plan for China to grow, and their goal is to destroy the U.S. Constitution, to lower the standard of living of the middle class, and to transform America into a country much more like communist China.
Paul McGuire and Noah Hutchings will return shortly to complete today's program, but we want to let you know how to get a copy of his book, The Day the Dollar Died. It's offered in appreciation of a $20 contribution in the U.S., $22 in Canada. To get the 178-page book, call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or visit the website at swrc.com. Brother Paul also has a book about microchips, which he'll be sharing from later in the week, and it too is available. I'll have more to say about that at the close of the program. But right now, let's get back to Brother Hutchings' visit with Paul McGuire.
In your book, The Day the Dollar Dies, you talk about a global financial crisis. You know, it seems like we operate now in response to crisis, not in response to planning or constructive operations. Everything is flux, and we go from one crisis to the next crisis. Now we have a crisis in our airports.
Yes.
So-called. Now, these are manufactured crises. Here, I travel all over the world, and I'm kind of safe as long as everybody goes through and gets checked to see if they got any bombs in their suitcases or any hand grenades in their pockets. So I do feel kind of safe at that. But now then, we have here, well, the Muslim women should not be able to, should not be embarrassed by patting them down. This is a manufactured crisis.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was at, the day before I flew out of here, I was flying out of LAX, and TSA was in high gear. And basically, they were saying, you get scanned with that super X-ray, or you go through the pat-down. But the night before, this was all covered up. We know what the X-ray does. It basically shows you naked, you know, without your clothes on. And it's very embarrassing for people. But the alternative, they cover it up because this female journalist did a report talking about her pat down and how detailed it was. And I don't want to get pornographic, so I'm not going to go into the details. But the only way you could describe the pat down that this female journalist had would be to describe it as an act of sexual molestation. That is how intrusive it was. And at the same time, a Muslim woman was walking ahead wearing her burqa and outfit. She was being treated like a queen. I was being treated like dirt. She was being treated like a queen. Okay, she's not, because of her religion, she's not allowed to get the scanner. And Napolitano has been dodging the issue about how they're dealing with Muslims, where they sent her into another room to get checked out. Now, I wasn't in the other room, but I'll guarantee you anything that the Muslims are being treated preferentially to U.S. citizens. She did not get the same pat-down that this female journalist did.
But why do we have these units in all our airports scanning and going through and taking your shoes off and everything out of your pocket and everything, and all these attendants and all this equipment, billions and billions of dollars? We have to get to the airport an hour early and go through all this. Why do we have to? Why? Why? Do Christians blow up airplanes?
No.
Do Buddhists blow up airplanes? Do Hindus blow up airplanes? Do Muslims blow up airplanes?
So two things happened to me. I really don't look like Chevy Chase, but if anybody's ever seen the Chevy Chase movies about the vacation comedies, I'm with my wife and kids, three kids, going to Disney World. And we don't look like terrorists. We look like tourists. I got a camera around my neck. They singled us out of line for a heavy-duty security check. I said, why? We don't look like terrorists. She said, because we want to keep everybody off guard, so we spontaneously look at people like you. But this keeps happening. So then another time, my family was pulled aside and went through the heavy-duty security. And right next to us were four Islamic males. The age, the weight, the height, they fit the total profile of a terrorist, and they went through it with nothing. And like you said, it's not, you know, Christians that are bombing anything. It's a particular group. It's one group.
It's the Muslims.
Right. It's not they would like to say it's the Christian right-wing extremists, but we know that's not true.
No, it's certainly not true. But in any event, all these are signed, too. One day there's going to be required common identity, isn't there?
Yes, the technology, and I deal with this in The Day the Dollar Died and Are You Ready for the Microchip, the surveillance technology is moving forward with lightning speed. As you know, the Bilderberg Group announced in 2008 that every citizen in the U.S. will have to get a microchip, and they want to start with America because they want to set an example. Now, I'll talk about this more when we get to Are You Ready for the Microchip, but I'll just put something out. In the healthcare bill, there is a passage which calls for the microchip. A lot of people don't know that, but we'll get that to that later. So this surveillance technology is accelerating. Now, another interesting thing about this plan to kill the dollar is that they're using organizations like the United Nations. They're using the Federal Reserve because, as you know, the Federal Reserve is a group of international bankers. The U.S. government and the American people do not have the right to audit or know the budget or even question the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is a private corporation, but they control our money system. They control whether we have recession, inflation, if your housing prices are going to crash. And as Rothschild said, he who controls the money controls the country. So what we have, and what I tried to reveal in this book and I document, in America today, We have the make-believe government, the show, and then behind the make-believe government, we have what would be called the invisible government, which is really running our nation and running the world.
Paul, you have a very interesting observation on page 35 of your book, The Day the Dollar Died. Now, you have a section of your book here, We Are Already in Global Government. Now, a lot of people don't realize that, but we really do have a global government. We're already in it.
You're absolutely right. And that's why I've said this and people look at me, I mean, their mouths hang open. But we are already in global government because behind the scenes, we have all these treaties. Our Supreme Court is no longer looking to the Constitution to develop laws. They're looking to the UN laws to develop laws. We have all these trade agreements, like the North American Union, which is still going full speed ahead, which will unify Canada, Mexico, and the United States. It's unconstitutional, but that's part of a regional global government. We have the IMF, which will be, and the World Bank, which will be the center of world currency and world government. And we have all these treaties that are hidden that are designed to destroy the U.S. Constitution, to lower the standard of the middle class. Let me just say this. No, I read a United Nations report the other day. In the UN report, they openly admitted in their own language, they said that our goal is to transfer trillions of dollars of wealth from the American middle class and middle class of other nations into third world nations, so that we can raise up the third world nations, which will never happen because the governments are corrupt. And then this UN report says, the purpose for this is redistribution of wealth, which is communism. And the United Nations report says we're going to lower the standard of the middle class to a lower class. And we'll only have two classes in America, the elite and a super lower class. And they're using environmentalism as the main way to brainwash the people to do it. But their goal, the United Nations, their goal, which they said in their own report, is to destroy the U.S. middle class.
Thank you, Brother Paul. We've been visiting with Brother Paul McGuire, author of two books, Are You Ready for the Microchip and The Day the Dollar Died? These are tremendously informative books on what's happening today in the world and why you need to be informed.
And Brother Hutchings, those two books meet that need as few others do. To get either or both, call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma 73008. Or go to the website at swrc.com. The Day the Dollar Died is 178 pages in length and is offered in appreciation of a $20 contribution in the United States, $22 in Canada. Are You Ready for the Microchip is offered for the same gift amounts in the U.S. and Canada. It's 164 pages in length. Better yet, get both books at the same time for an offering of $35 in the U.S., $40 in Canada. Paul McGuire is careful to document everything he puts in his books, and these are no exception. Call, write, or go online today for your copy of either or both books. Phone 1-800-652-1144. The website is at swrc.com on the Internet. Plan now to join us tomorrow when Brother Paul McGuire returns for your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for a Bible in the News report, a recent story with a biblical viewpoint. It's a feature of your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. I'm Jerry Giltner. I'll be bringing you today's report. Christians who are ardent prayer warriors know the value of talking with God about everyday concerns on a daily, if not ongoing, basis. They found that there is strength that rises in one's soul from communicating with the Father. But not everyone knows that. As a matter of fact, just recently, a group of United States researchers have made the startling discovery. A story posted on the website of UPI is headlined, quote, "Prayer helps vent anger, up self-worth," close quotes. We're quoting from UPI.com, December 14, 2010. Quote, "In a study of victims of violent relationships with intimate partners, U.S. researchers found prayer helped them vent their anger." Shane Sharp, a graduate sociology student at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, interviewed dozens of victims of violent relationships with intimate partners and found prayer helped them not only vent anger, but it raised their self-worth and distracted them from their anxiety. "I looked at the act of praying, of speaking to God, as the same as a legitimate social interaction," Sharp says in a statement. "Instead of a concrete interaction you have face-to-face with another person, prayer is with an imagined other." The word imagined, Sharp says, does not diminish God's role. "On the contrary, I wouldn't expect prayer to have these benefits for people if they thought God wasn't real," Sharp says. "The important point is that they believe God is real, and that has consequences for them emotionally and for their behavior." However, the study published in Social Psychology Quarterly notes prayer may not always be positive. For example, if prayer helps victims forgive their abusive partners, it can be good to let the past go. But it is bad if it lets a victim stay in a dangerous relationship, the study says. Close quotes. The most important relationship is the one the person who prays has with the God to whom he or she prays. The Bible contains many, many verses about prayer. For example, Jesus gave the model prayer in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. Paul wrote, "Pray without ceasing." That's from 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Jesus also prayed for his disciples and us in John 17. But one thing should be noted about these prayers. They are for those who have put their faith in Jesus. Have you done that? If not, you can. Simply pray a prayer like this. "Dear God, I know that Jesus is your Son and that he died on the cross and was raised from the dead. I know I am a sinner and need forgiveness. I am willing to turn from my sin and receive Jesus as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Now, if you've done that, please let us know so we can rejoice with you. Phone 1-800-652-1144. That's today's Bible in the News report from Southwest Radio Ministries. These reports are published each month in a booklet. If you'd like a complimentary copy, call, write, or visit our website. That phone number again is 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The website is at swrc.com. Join us for the next Your Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News report.